Good morning. Welcome to this time of worship on this 12th day of September, the first day of our return to a more normal fall schedule. Praise the Lord. We gather both in person and over Zoom in thankfulness for God's presence and provision. We gather in gratitude for being able to worship together. And we gather in wonder at the mystery that God has made known to us, that we are all members of the body of Christ. Come, let us pray, bring our praises to the Lord, who is gracious to us, who listens to our prayers, and who loves us beyond all measure of understanding. Let your light shine on us, O Lord. Let us pray. O Holy One, you draw us together in response to your calling on our lives, to worship you, our Creator, and to be a community of believers together. Take our cares and worries and concerns on your shoulders. Free our minds to focus on you and your word. Allow our hearts to be open to your love and guidance and wisdom. Receive our love in return. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin by acknowledging our presence on the lands of the Cree, Ojibwe, Dakota, and Métis Nations. We recognize that we are guests on this land and will be mindful of our impact as we critically look at colonial histories and present-day implications. We acknowledge this as a first step in fulfilling our responsibility and commitment to truth and reconciliation. Today is the culmination of our rather focused summer study of Ephesians. Imprisoned in Rome, Paul pens this letter to the church in Ephesus, illuminating some rather staggering thoughts. His words speak of his desire for that community to know just how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. The message of Ephesians still rings true for us today, but how best do we hear and receive these words of truth? When we take the opportunity to prepare our hearts through confession of all that lies between us and God, we then open ourselves to receive his forgiveness. His life-giving word may then find a home in our softened hearts and minds. So let us come before our Lord. Let us open our hearts to offer our confessions, and then let us experience the healing of God's peace and forgiveness. Please bow with me in prayer as I offer a prayer of confession. Following my prayer, there will be a time of silent reflection, a time for examining our own hearts, and then I will offer assurance of God's forgiveness. Let us pray. God of peace, we come before you with unspoken transgressions weighing heavily on our hearts. Why, Lord, are we willing to descend into the worst areas life offers to us, yet reluctant to come into your presence? Why can we stand on sin's shaky foundations, yet find it impossible to dance in your joy? Why are we so quick to trumpet our hollow achievements, but do not seem to be able to hear your whispers of hope for us? Forgive us, Holy One, and fill us with your mercy. May we set our hope in Jesus Christ, who came so that we might become your children, inheritors of love, peace, and faithfulness forever. Hear these words of assurance. In Christ, God's salvation has come. God's peace kisses our cheeks, wiping away our tears. And faithfulness takes us by the hand to lead us home to God. God has called us. God has claimed us. God has redeemed us. This is good news for all of creation. Thanks be to God. Amen. Mara, would you lead us in worship music, please?
Good morning. I'll invite you to take your blue hymnal worship book and turn to number 12. Come, let us all unite to sing. Number 12 in your blue hymnal worship book. Please stand if you're able and sing with me. Come, let us all unite to sing, God is love. Let heaven, earth, their praises bring, God is love. Let every soul from sin awake, let every heart sweet music make, and sing with us for Jesus' sake, for God is love. God to words most mouth is bound, God is love. In Christ we have redemption found, God is love. His blood has washed our sins away, His Spirit turned our night to day, and now we can rejoice to say that God is love. Sun and shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength and stay. He will be with us all the way. Our God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. Our next song is also found in your hymnal worship book. You can remain standing and turn to number 288. 288. Rejoice, the Lord is King. 288. Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Mortals give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. Jesus, the Savior, reigns, the God of truth and love. When He had purged our stains, He took His seat above. Lift up your your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. His kingdom cannot fail, he rules over earth and heaven. The keys of death and hell to Jesus now are given. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in glorious hope, Jesus the judge shall come and take his servants up to their eternal home. We soon shall hear the archangel's voice, the trump of God shall sound, rejoice.
You may be seated. I'll invite the children to come forward to the front pew if you are here today. That would be great. I am going to read a couple verses from scripture and then we are going to sing a song together. So, good morning and welcome here. This morning, we are talking about the book of Ephesians, and there are a lot of different verses in that book, but I chose just a couple that I wanted to read to you this morning. So the verses that I'm going to read are Ephesians 5, verses 8 to 10, and it goes like this. You used to be like people living in the dark, but now you are people of the light because you belong to the Lord. So act like people of the light and make your light shine. Be good and honest and truthful as you try to please the Lord. So I would like to sing a song this morning called This Little Light of Mine. There's a couple different versions of this song, and I'm going to sing the one that we sing often at camp, which is a little bit more upbeat. If you know this song, adults, and you want to sing along with me, you are very welcome to, or clap along. That's great too. And we're going to sing this song just to remind us how great it is to be part of God's kingdom, and also to remind us to try and be good and truthful and do good things. All right, here we go. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. The gift of love. Tuesday, peace came from above. Wednesday told me to have more faith. Thursday gave me a little more grace. Friday told me just to watch and pray. Saturday told me just to what to say. On Sunday, he gave me the power to find, just to let my little light shine. Woo! This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Light that shines is the light of love, shines the darkness from above, shines on me and it shines on you, and it shows what the power of love can do. Gonna shine my light both far and near, gonna shine my light both bright and clear. If there's a dark corner in this land, I'm gonna let my little light shine. Woo! This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You can go back to your seat.
Thank you, Mara. My grandmother used to lead a children's choir in a very small church that I grew up in. she sang a slower version, and they would hold a little light under. Yeah, you recognize that one? Yeah, that's the one I know, but I also know that one too. Thank you. Let's take a minute to pray for our offering. And I'll just, before we do that, I'll remind you of the methods that we may give. There's an offering plate at the back of the church. Peter Neufeld is happy to accept it in his mailbox or through online giving. Let us pray. God of tent and temple, settlement and seashore, you are always moving, always calling us to come along with you into unexpected and wonderful places. May the gifts of money given here and through our bank accounts help your church to be dynamic and fluid. May each of us fulfill our own role as a stone in your temple, resting upon and supporting one another. Help us to remember and give thanks for those who formed this temple before us, welcomed us into it, and with whom we are still united on earth and in heaven. We ask these things through Christ, our cornerstone. Amen. Thank you, Carvette. This morning, we have the pleasure of welcoming my friend and one of my professors, Andrew Dick. Now, if I was taking one of his courses this fall, I would be moving for some brownie points, but I don't need to do that. He's not my professor this fall. Before entering seminary, Andrew worked as a trained physiotherapist for 8 years in Winnipeg. Following the MB Seminary, Andrew pastored in BC for 16 years before moving back to Winnipeg to teach seminary and undergraduate students at Canadian Mennonite University. Andrew and Martha's 37 years of marriage have been blessed with 3 sons, 2 of whom are married. Their family is divided between Manitoba and BC, but Andrew and Martha feel very privileged to live nearby the family that has their 2 lovely granddaughters. Music has played an important role in their lives, especially in Martha's career as a music educator and choir director. Martha recently retired, so she's celebrating, but she's still a choir director. Andrew and Martha are members of Westwood Community Church in Winnipeg, and we want to extend a warm welcome to both of you this morning. Before I ask Andrew to come forward, join me in prayer for him. Lord, we give thanks for Andrew and his desire to serve you. We pray for him as he shares the message of Ephesians. Bless him with peace, courage, and wisdom. Clear our minds of any distractions. Open our ears and our hearts and our spirits to hear what you need us to hear, and then move in us to live out your message in our daily lives. Amen. Blessings, Andrew.
Morning. Thanks for those of you who've already had a chance to meet and to say hello to. It's good to be with you today. And I'll just say a word on behalf of Canadian Mennonite University to say that the year has started off really well this week. I think there's an enthusiasm, and I've just, among both professors and students, that we've got good enrollment, that we're back, we're meeting in person. And so there's just, a real positive, upbeat feel to this fall. And so we're praying that we can continue meeting in person and having a really good semester together. So we certainly appreciate your prayers and thank you for the support you've given. You've sent us students over the years, and if you're able to also support financially, of course, that's always welcome. So I understand that you've been spending a few weeks in the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church there, and I wanted today, I've been asked to speak the book of Ephesians to you. And so just as a little bit of an introduction to that, I recognize that it's really important for us when we read the Bible to take the Bible in small chunks and some for prayer or for meditation or for study. But as adults, we also need to be able to get the whole sweep of scripture and the whole sweep of Bible books. And it can be really helpful for us to also read the Bible in large chunks, not only in small pieces. It'll be a little bit like if I received a cousin of mine, she just sent me a family newsletter by email recently. And I read the whole letter at once. I didn't sort of read one paragraph and then wait a week and read the next paragraph and the next week, take the next paragraph. But I needed to read the whole bit. And then the parts that I was especially interested in or that I didn't understand, I could go back to and I would read. And I think maybe we need to think that way sometimes also about the letters that we have in the Bible. Of course, the first Christians didn't have Bibles the way we do. They didn't have verses and chapter numbers. They didn't have printed books on their shelves. They didn't open their Bible randomly to see if God had a message for them that morning. And they didn't read silently in their heads. Instead, what happened was when an apostle wanted to send a message to a group of believers somewhere else, the apostle would record that message by having it written down, whether writing it himself or dictating it. And then that message would be carried in written form to another place. And then someone would read it aloud for the people to hear. And they'd listen to that whole letter at once. And so writing was actually a recording technology, kind of the way we might now think of a recording on an iPhone or some other device. And so what I'm inviting you to do today is to listen to the whole letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians in one sitting as a way of catching the sweep and the whole trajectory of the letter, which starts in some sense on the Mount Everest of theology and then ends up in some of the valleys of the very practical ways in which we live. Two last things. I want to say something about memorizing and something about listening. When I grew up, this church I went to in British Columbia, it was our practice that as kids in Sunday school, we always had to come to Sunday school with a Bible verse memorized. And if we got it memorized, we got a little sticker on the wall or whatever it was. And then when we got a little older, we might memorize the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23, or something a little bit longer. About 6 years ago, I met a prof named Tim Gettert from Fresno Pacific Biblical Seminary, and he talked about how he has his students memorize the entire book of Mark. And I thought, how in the world is that possible? And so he gave me a one-page description of how he teaches memorizing, and I discovered that there's a way of memorizing large chunks of scripture that's not boring, but it's actually doable with about a half an hour of work a day over a long period of time. And so the next summer, as I walked to and from CMU for work, I would have a piece of paper in my hand, kind of like this. It eventually gets all folded and crushed, and I decided I couldn't manage the whole gospel, but I would try Ephesians. And after about 4 months of work, I found I was able to do it. And so I want to share that with you. And if you're interested in that method of memorizing, talk to me afterwards or send me an email and I'll fill you in. And the other thing is about listening. I don't think certainly it's not been my experience to listen to whole books of the Bible. And so if you're looking for a little bit of help on how to listen well, a couple suggestions. You might want to imagine that you're actually in that first church in what we now call Turkey, listening to this letter as if you were hearing it for the very first time. Or maybe you want to imagine that you're someone in the prison where Paul is dictating or writing down this letter and you're actually hearing him in the next cell maybe. Or maybe you simply want to grab a pen and paper, draw some pictures of what you're hearing, circle or write down a word that jumps out at you because you've already been studying it. Or if nothing else, maybe think about the title, Waging Peace. That's a title some people have given to the book of Ephesians, and think about how the whole of Ephesians has something to do with waging peace. So all kinds of ways that you can listen. I do recommend that you not follow along in your Bible. So you just get that experience of what it is to just listen. And some things stick and some things move on. If I get stuck along the way, please don't panic. You didn't pay for admission for your seats. And I've got my script here if I have to look something up. So we'll find our way through if that happens. When I'm done, I'm just going to ask us to sit silent for about a minute, just to listen for the word of the Lord as we've heard all of Ephesians read. And then after I'm done, I'm just going to ask you, what do you notice? What jumped out at you? What caught your interest? What's puzzling? And we can maybe talk together for a minute or two before the service gets wrapped up. So let's begin. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we've also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with a seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he's put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He's abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaim peace to you who are far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which might enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power, although I am the very least of all the saints. This grace was given to me to proclaim to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery that was hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich, multicolored variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with his eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. I pray, therefore, that you will not lose heart over my sufferings for you. They are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you people may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you, lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he'd also descended to the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we should grow up in every way into him who is the head, who is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Now, this I affirm and insist on in the Lord: you must no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God by their ignorance and hardness of heart. They've lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness. They're greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not how you learned Christ. For surely you've heard about him, and you were taught in him as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, Let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and impurity of any kind or greed must not even be mentioned among you, as is proper among saints. Entirely out of place is obscene, silly, and vulgar talk. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Be sure of this, that no sexually immoral person or an impure person or one who is greedy, that is, an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God comes on those who are disobedient. So do not be associated with them. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything that is exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but keep on being filled with the Spirit, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus, and being subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, the body of which he is the Savior. Just as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be in everything to their husbands. And husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy by cleansing her with the washing of water by the word, so as to present the church to himself in splendor without a spot or wrinkle or anything of the kind. Yes, so that she may be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as they do their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own body, but he nourishes and tenderly cares for it, just as Christ does for the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a great mystery, and I am applying it to Christ and the church. Each of you, however, should love his wife as himself, and a wife should respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as you obey Christ, not only while being watched and in order to please them, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Render service with enthusiasm as to the Lord and not to men and women. For we know that whatever good we do, we will receive the same again from the Lord, whether we're slave or free. And masters, do not do the same to them. Do not threaten them. Stop threatening them. For you know that your master in heaven is the same for you both. And with that master in heaven, there is no partiality. Finally, Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but our struggle is against the powers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this, cosmic rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. So stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all these, take the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, that a message may be given to me to proclaim with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus will tell you everything. He's a dear brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, and I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are and to encourage your hearts. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who have an undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Before I sit down again, I would love to hear from a few of you. What catches your attention when you hear all of Ephesians at once instead of sermon by sermon or week by week? Someone just speak up from where you are. I'll repeat it so we can all hear. You don't need a mic. What did you notice? What was interesting? What was confusing? What was wonderful? Whatever you like. Maybe there's a question you're wondering about even. What did you notice? He seems like a real person. The practicality of it. Yeah. It's a real letter. Yeah. Some practicality with truth are held together. Yeah. Sorry? Yes. Very specific. Yeah. It's not just theoretical. Yeah. Yeah. A path for how to live. If you could ask Paul something, anything out of this that you would love, you wish you could ask Paul? Yes. Right. So, I mean, the chapter one, almost the whole first two thirds of chapter one in Greek would be just one sentence, and reading it, it's hard to grasp. I think these scriptures were really meant to be heard, and they can, yeah, Wes. Yeah. Yep. What are those principalities, powers? Yeah, how do we understand that today? Yeah, absolutely. That'd be a good conversation. Someone else before we wrap up here. Yeah, some of the sternness of other letters doesn't seem so evident here. And the person who speaks it, a person's personality comes through to some degree as well. But I mean, I can't get away from it all through the references to Christ, to Jesus. It's never ending. It's quite striking. Thank you for listening. God bless you as you continue on. And I pray for you a wonderful year together as a congregation.
Please take your blue hymnal worship book one last time, and I'll invite you to turn to number 322, 322. For we are strangers no more, number 322, and I will ask you to stand as well. If you're unfamiliar with this song, I'll invite you to join me on the chorus, or if you know the whole thing, please sing with me.
For we are strangers no more, but members of one family. Strangers no more, but part of one humanity. Strangers no more, we're neighbors to each other now. Strangers no more, we're sisters and we're brothers now. Come walk with me.
So for our benediction, I'll again close with words of praise to God from the end of Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.